Blog Talk Radio.
Come on. Come on.
We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start.
So no matter what is going on in the world today, once that ends the music, lower it down, buddy. Yeah, there we go. So anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. As you can tell, Seth, after, well, what are we on, our fifth year now? You finally got the song started. Yes! Positives. Now we got to learn how to fade out the song. Sean Palmer, live from Paris. Yes, I think this is now our fifth country that we have done the show in. Seth Kamen's in your office is Livingston, right?
Yes,
Livingston, New Jersey. Yeah, I'm staring out at the Eiffel Tower, and he's staring out at his car. Yeah, that's about right.
And he's giving you the middle finger as well.
Poor baby. You know what, though? It's better than the mural of or the award that they gave to Brandi Chastain. Have you seen
that?
Yeah,
what was
it? So for those that are unaware, Brandi Chastain, deservingly so, was honored by the San Francisco Bay sports area into their Hall of Fame. And Brandi Chastain has an illustrious career, right? I mean, we all remember the award-winning goal in the World Cup. She played on many a World Cup team, many a national team, also played, I believe, in the Women's Soccer League, certainly overseas, I believe, in the U.S. as well. So they give her an award, which is well-deserved, no question about it. Now, the award had a face that was supposed to look like Brandi Chastain and more looks like a cross between Gary Busick and Rex Ryan. Or Chewbacca.
Nick Nolte.
Well, or Chewbacca. I mean, it could be any of the three. It is awful. I don't know who was the one. Look, you kind of think that somebody just said, okay, we mixed up Gary Busick and Brandi Chastain, and probably Brandi Chastain's beautiful face. Brandi Chastain is a beautiful woman. She is probably... has her picture on Nick Nolte or Gary Busick or Rex Ryan or Chewbacca's award. I was going to save that to the last 5 minutes, but quite frankly, that deserves the first 5 minutes here. That was awful. I implore you all to look online at this thing.
Yes, please.
And you could be
embarrass her more. That's the way to go. Yeah, it is one. I don't know what happened with that.
Okay, so we have the NBA Finals going on. Now, part of the thing is, in Paris, I am 6 hours ahead of everybody else. So I haven't seen very much of the NBA Finals. I've read a lot about it. I know
in the NBA,
has been
in the NBA Conference Finals.
Oh, semifinals, right. Excuse me. Sorry, the semifinals. And I won't be watching the finals either because I'll be in Germany or somewhere else. And the fact is, it's been LeBron versus, from what I understand, LeBron versus the Celtics, and the Warriors have just basically dominated Houston, getting lucky for one game. Is that the way it reads? Or am
I don't know if I'd say Houston got lucky, but the reality is there has not been one game where you've actually missed something. There have been individual great performances. I mean, LeBron scores 44 last night. Stephen Curry had like 18 in about 7 minutes for game three, which was just an abomination. But you've missed nothing. And, you know, even though they were supposed to be somewhat intriguing, the series as a whole may be intriguing, but the games have stunk. And I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Well, the last game, Boston versus Cleveland, I believe was the first game in 11 games that's been in single digits and it was a 9-point win.
Yeah,
and
it wasn't close.
That just tells you all you need to know.
It has not been, you know, last year I remember we were complaining about the playoffs, how we thought it was a foregone conclusion where you were going to at the finals, and then we would see what happened. And, you know, we still thought that Golden State would cruise through. This year, it was a foregone conclusion in my mind, although not in yours. The West was a foregone conclusion. I thought Cleveland getting there was a foregone conclusion. Maybe not a foregone conclusion, but I thought they would be there. Boston has been a pleasant surprise. But the games just haven't been very good. Cleveland has no chance against either team in the West. As amazing as LeBron looks, and he's looked unbelievable, they're simply not that good. They're old, their new players have not really come into play or just not at this level. And, you know, when we look at it, Boston is 2-2 without their two best, you know, without Kyrie Irving. So, you know, what are you looking at here? I mean, could Cleveland win? Yeah, I think they probably will. But Cleveland's got no chance against Golden State or Houston. I don't think it has a chance against either team. Boston, I think, would have a better chance just because they're younger and more athletic. But I realistically can't see Boston going to winning the NBA Finals over Golden State without Kyrie Irving or Gordon Hayward. I just don't. I think we're looking. You know, I think we're continuing to look at, you know, the Golden State reign continues. I don't see it. You know, game four is tonight for Houston. The series is contingent on tonight. If Houston wins, let's have 2 or 3 at home, they got a shot. They lose tonight, it's over. They're not winning 3 in a row against Golden State.
Okay. I completely agree. Obviously, Houston down 2-1. I believe they're playing at home tonight, correct? If I'm wrong,
Golden State is.
Nope, they're
Golden State.
Golden State. So they got to win.
Houston has a home court advantage. So this is game four.
Yeah, well, that's gone a whole long way in this series, obviously. and obviously home court advantage has gone very far in the Cleveland Boston series with the home team winning all four games. And it seems more and more like if Boston did have Kyrie Irving or did have a Gordon Hayward, this would be a totally different series. They need their alpha dog, and they just don't have it.
Well, they do. The question, first of all, I'm not sure Gordon Hayward is an alpha dog for a championship team. Considering how game one, we have no real way of knowing how he would have assimilated. I do think you have alpha dogs here. Horford's been unbelievable. But between Tatum and Rozier, they have that personality. They're not very. They may not be there, and Jaylen Brown as well, who's been very, very good. They're not there in regards to, you know, these guys are all rookies and second year players. You know, Kyrie is your alpha dog, and he's out. So you're not looking. You know, to me, I think Cleveland wins this. I'd like to see Boston win. But my gut is we're looking at Golden State Cleveland round four, and I see no reason to think Cleveland would take more than a game or two.
Ladies and gentlemen, assimilate. Assimilate is a verb. It means to take in and understand fully either information or ideas. Quote, Marie tried to assimilate.
Is this Sean's SAT podcast? Did I miss something?
No, this is the word of the day, because we don't use big words on this program.
I attribute it to the fact that I've seen more Sesame Street in the last week than I have in the last 35 years.
And it's
Jake's
still wonderful, is it not?
What did you say?
It's still wonderful. It's still wonderful.
It is. There's something still about it which is quite enjoyable.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's something innocent about that show that has not been desecrated by Cliff Huxtable or anybody else for that matter. So
fair enough.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, so we're still in the same boat. We're still seeing what we said before. What you said before. You're seeing Houston and Cleveland and
Golden State.
I don't know. Oh, sorry, Golden State and Cleveland. And I picked Houston and Cleveland at the beginning of this playoffs. And I'll stay with them because they're still both in it. And you know what? Well, I went for the underdog in, well, what I believed was the underdog in Houston at, I believe, at the beginning of the season, actually. And I'll stick with them for right now. And we'll see how that turns out. But you never know what could come out of this playoff series. And the more and more LeBron plays well, I think the more and more he actually stays. And I know we've been throwing this around show after show after show, but I just don't see where he goes. The more and more that Houston plays the way that they're playing, they'd have to gut their roster to get him. I just don't see him going there or to the West for that matter. So like our esteemed colleague 2 weeks ago said on the show, it's either Philadelphia or Cleveland. And does he want to be a mercenary or does he want to be a hometown hero? I think he stays in Cleveland. And I think I've been saying that from the very beginning. So but let's move on to the NFL. And so I have not been in the New York area for almost a week and a half. But somehow the Giants got Odell Beckham to show up at camp, from what I understand.
They did.
And to me, that's a big play, like having him show up at camp. So what's the talk in New York about that? I mean, look, he had said numerous times he wasn't going to show up. He said, there's no way I'm going to show up. And now he's showing up and he's actually participating. Is this good boy behavior in hopes of a new deal? Or is this the Giants putting their foot down and saying, we're not going to give you a deal anyway until you show up?
I think probably a little bit of both. Now, look, Beckham is very concerned with his public image. We all know this. And regardless of right or wrong, nobody ever looks good in a holdout to the public. So for whatever reason he's doing this, whether it's because he wants to stay in New York, whether it's because he thinks it's good for his image, whether it's because he wants Lauren Shermer's offense, whether it's because he's embarrassed about what happened last year, as a Giants fan, you're just happy he's there. You know, he's not fully participating, but he's involved. And that's all you can really ask for. So, you just take it from there. There's no expectation. There's no expectation, in my mind, that they're going to sign him at this point. But, it's a hard call because he's a top three wide receiver. So what do you really want to do with him? Do you really want to trade him for 2 first-round picks? Probably not. We've talked about this before, and you don't think they can get it anyway. So you're looking at a first and a third.
Well, I don't think I don't think you're getting that right now. I mean, because off-season trades are very difficult, especially after the draft, because you filled in all your free agency spots. You filled in all of your draft choices, and now you're going to fit in a salary, and with his salary, you're filling in a major salary when you just don't have the cap room. You've spent it already. I mean, the last major trade that I recall in the offseason was due to necessity, and that was Alex Smith going Sam Bradford. Yeah, so I just don't see a trade here. But the other guys that are missing, while Odell has showed up, Tom Brady, Julio Jones, Aaron Donald, all no-shows. I get why Donald's out, but Julio's got like 3 more years in that contract, and we all know Tom Brady's got time. Those are interesting calls. I mean, Julio Jones, he's about 30 years old right now. He wants one more major deal. I think he was the number one wide receiver, and now he's like ninth. So he wants one more major deal, and Brady's been underpaid forever. So is it time to pay the piper for him? And is it time to pay the piper for Rob Gronkowski, who also has not shown up? Is it possible that New England finally has to pay market rate for their guys. Holy cow. The entire rest of the league's been doing it for years. New England's been dancing around because they got Brady at $10 million and Gronkowski at $7 million. Maybe it's about time that they got paid.
And, of course, the problem being that you have to pay, if you're New England, you got to pay Brady. You do have to pay Brady at this point because you have no backup. Because Garofalo is in San Francisco, and Danny Elling is not about to take over. Is not quite ready to take over. So you're looking at a really awkward situation, and I don't know their cap room off the top of my head, but you have a Gronkowski who has been debating retiring the last couple of years, the last year or two, excuse me, taking a lot of hits. You have, as you said, you have Brady who's always taken lower, who's always just taken lower, you know, lower salary than most. It's not the best situation. So we'll have to kind of see how it out.
Yeah, to answer your question, well, it wasn't really a question; it was a statement. New England has $13 million under the cap right now, to do with what they please. And so $13 million, if you give Brady a $6 million raise, I think Brady's only earning 10 or 12 this year. So he's up to 18, but that's still nowhere near what the market is. He's earning 14. So that would be nowhere near what Matt Ryan's earning $30 million. Think about that. $30 million. $30 million. I mean,
$30 billion
for a guy. Well, a guy that's never won the. I almost said a Stanley Cup. Oh my God, my brain is French cheese right now. French Swiss cheese.
Braid is French cheese.
No, my head is cheese. It's just okay.
Holy crap, are you? How much cider have you drank in the last 7 days? Jeez.
Believe it or not, I drank a lot while I was in England. I've been drinking wine since I've been in France because they don't actually have cider here. So I've been trying different types of wine. I don't really like wine.
Nope.
So it's been an interesting mix of trying things. I'll tell you one thing. The steak here is phenomenal. Phenomenal. Like when they invented Chateaubriand, well, this is where they made it. And it is awesome. Anyway, we're getting back to what we were saying before. So Brady's got a $14
million.
It's pretty phenomenal. Yeah, it's pretty phenomenal. Any cut of beef or lamb over here? Well, the lamb was great in England. The beef is great here. The beef was not good in England. Stay away from the hamburgers in England. Bad idea. Like, awful. Bad idea. Anyway, so Brady's earning $14 million. To give him an $8 million boost would make him up to 22. Gronkowski's earning $8 million. And if you give him a $4 million boost to bring him back up, that's eating up all your cap room with no money to use during the regular season. That's not going to happen. So it's really, really hard to make changes during the offseason unless you have a guy that can go on injured reserve and then use that cap space. But it's just not happening. Okay, so the NFL is dormant. Look, everybody, we talk a lot about the NFL here, and it's pretty much in the slowest part of their year is right now. After the draft, before training camp, this is the slowest part of the year. I know, Seth, you're not a big fan of the NHL. I know you don't follow the NHL so much. But you have to know that the Vegas Golden Knights made the Stanley Cup Finals, right? That you are aware that this...
And I am aware that, okay, that the biggest sporting event in probably the last 30 years in Washington is going to be happening tomorrow night.
Correct. So...
30 years?
I still don't
about
think...
25 years? 30 years? 1983,
oh, no.
I think. 1992 is the... So 25 years.
92 is the last time they made the Stanley Cup. Yep. Stanley Cup Finals. Correct.
No.
They've never won a Stanley.
No. What are you talking about? It's the last time anyone in D.C. went to a champion, went to any kind of championship game. It's when the Redskins went to the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
Wow,
like I said,
you are just...
I'm tired. I'm off today. I'm really off. And so it's the
your
biggest game since 1990.
It's cheese.
Yeah, all that too. So the biggest game since 1992. Do you think that they'll beat the Lightning? Because I don't. I think they are going to curdle like bad milk.
They looked really good last night.
Oh, I know.
They played like a team that was they played like a team that they should have played like this years ago in the playoffs. Ovechkin was a monster going after hits. Holby had an easy run, it looked like, out of what I saw. I saw some of the game. And, you know, maybe because I'm kind of sympathetic because my good friend who was a DC, who's a diehard Caps fan, died a few months ago. So I'd kind of like to see them make it kind of in his, I don't want to say in his honor because that sounds a little bit weird, but I'd like to see them do it. But I think it's a tough run to win in Tampa. I just do.
Yeah, I don't think they have any shot. I just don't.
They have any shot?
I think that, nope. I will eat crow if they win tomorrow, but I don't think they have a shot in Tampa.
I like this in a blowout series. So I find it hard to think they have no chance. Would they be my favorite? Absolutely not. But I'm certainly not going to say that they have no shot. They have no shot.
Okay. And then you got Vegas on the other side. It's really bad for the NHL that an expansion team is in the Stanley Cup playoffs. True or false?
True. Although if one made it, I'm sure NBC is much happier that it's Vegas and not Winnipeg. I think you may have had a viewing population of 7 if the Jets were able to make the finals. It's not good.
It's not good. And now, if you have expansion in Seattle, they've already agreed that it would be the same rules of the expansion draft that was actually put into the expansion documents. So here we are with basically a well-built oiled machine. And look, everybody in Washington is saying, where was this George McPhee when he was with the Capitals? Because hell, he made it in 1 year to the finals. But I think this is horrendous for the NHL. I think this is the worst thing that could happen to the, well, not the worst thing, but it's certainly up there, because you have teams like the Islanders, teams like the Devils, teams that have been trolling the bottom, Phoenix, for almost a decade. And you basically gave the Vegas Knights not only a Stanley Cup appearance this year, but the means in which to keep this team and draft picks coming up, because all those trades last year to bring them these players. I mean, Vegas started out with no cap and was able to, through excellent trades by George McPhee, basically stock their roster and their future for the next couple of years.
Yeah. There's no question that their future is extraordinarily bright. But to be fair, it's also hard to feel sorry for teams that have been down for 10, 12 years that can't seem to get their heads out of their ass. They shouldn't exactly be rewarded either. And, you know, hopefully, you know, for that team in Long Island, I know you weren't thrilled about Lamoriello per se coming in, but I think anything to get rid of Garth Snow would be a positive, wouldn't it?
Oh, no, I was absolutely thrilled last night. I said I was a pig in bloop last night. I was happy with that. I wasn't unhappy.
I thought you had said previously you were only going to be happy if they brought him in if this got rid of Snow.
Well, it's going to get rid of Snow. And
that would be my guess.
So today they announced that Lou Lamoriello was the head of all hockey operations. To me, that means either Snow's there and he has absolutely no power, or Snow's gone. Snow's got four more years on his contract. So I have a feeling he's going to be the most well compensated scout that the Islanders have. Or he's going to scout on his couch. Either way is fine with me, as long as he's nowhere near where we make trades and draft picks in the next couple of weeks. And I think after the NHL draft, you might see Mark Hunter, which would be very ironic considering his brother is the one and only Dale Hunter, become the general manager of your New York Islanders.
New York. And second of all, Lamoriello is going to fire his son?
No. So his son is the assistant GM right now.
So you think he's just going to maintain
GM. I don't think he's going to promote his son. I think he becomes the president. Mark Hunter, who is his right-hand man in Toronto, becomes the general manager, and his son stays status quo as the assistant GM. And all is well in the world once John Tavares signs on July 1st. God, I hope that happens.
It could. I don't think so. But, look, if not, bring in Lamoriello is great, but if you can't maintain Tavares, you're going nowhere in the near future anyway. So,
agreed. Well, we've discussed this ad nauseum. I mean, that's absolutely true. No question about it.
So tell us a little bit about the trip, other than your head is now full of French cheese.
French cheese. So, okay. So my trip involves 9 cities in 28 days, which is kind of cool. I will be going to, right now I'm in France. I came from England. And from here I'm going to go to Munich for a couple of days, then go to Vienna for a couple of days, which is in Austria, Krakow, and that's in Poland, come back towards Prague, which is in Czechoslovakia, then back to Berlin going...
I'm very proud you can pass 9th grade geography. Keep going.
Wow. You know, if I had asked 9th graders where Krakow was, I'm thinking the majority of them would not know it's in Poland.
Krakow, but Prague, they should.
They may not even know Czechoslovakia still exists.
They'll know you're a Jager. Isn't that good enough?
True. Okay, so, and then I'm going to Berlin, and from Berlin, I am then heading to Lisbon, Portugal. And then I come home. I will be back for our show on June 12th. The next time I will be on the show will not be next week. Seth will find a sub for myself. I understand it's very hard to find somebody as capable as myself, but I'm sure he can do a good job. I knew that was going to ring true. And he'll find us up, and then I'll see you guys when I am headed to when I will be in Madrid. And for those that did not pass 9th grade geography, Madrid is in Spain.
Oh boy.
So I know we don't have a lot to talk about this week, and that's in part because I have been here in France, and Seth has been busy with his accounting practice. So Seth, I don't know about you, but maybe this might be a good time to stop, and we'll cut it short on a half hour this week, and we'll you can pick it up with the guests next week, and then I'll see you guys again in Spain. Does that work for you?
Yeah, that's fine. The only other topics I wanted to talk about was, did you hear what happened with Reuben Foster?
I heard that our middle linebacker for our team, his girlfriend recanted that none of this ever happened, and I only did it to punish him. I think that is the biggest bunch of crock I've ever heard, and that only screams to me big time payday.
I've never. It's apparently she pulled something like this in Louisiana a couple of years ago. Do you think this happened? And you think she withdrew this and is going to get a percentage of his shit going of his income coming forward?
Oh, really? His what again?
His.
Huh?
Bleep. Man,
right,
neither of us
exactly.
Are really strong today.
Yeah. His beep. Look, I think that she's going to get a percentage of something. It may be going forward. It may be today, tomorrow, whatever. But I definitely think she's going to get a share of something. And I think the fact is, you know what, Seth? He's still going to get suspended. It won't matter. We're still going to lose our linebacker for at least 4 weeks if we pick him up this year. Because the NFL doesn't – we've seen this before. The NFL, does not need anything from law enforcement to do anything. That's number one. And number two, he's still got a gun charge against him, which I don't care what she says. He still had a gun. So she didn't absolve him of the gun problem, and that's a big deal when it comes to the NFL. So, yeah, I think he's up the bleeps river without a paddle, or the bleeps creek.
Very well articulated, sir. All right.
Thank you. What else you got for me?
The other thing I guess we'll talk about next week or in 2 weeks, so I'll hold off next week, is maybe we'll discuss your keen legal insight, Mr. Head Made Out of French Cheese, on the passing of it looks like there's going to be state gambling allowed.
Oh yes, we'll definitely talk about that when I am gambling in Madrid, where it is currently legal. So let's push that to then, and I will bid you au revoir for now, and I will say hola in 2 weeks while I am in Madrid. So for Seth Kamens, this is Sean Palmer, BackSportsPage.com, Blog Talk Radio. We really appreciate you joining us at a different time today than normal.
We apologize, but just not our best show.
My head is French cheese. We'll talk to you guys later. Have a good day.
No, have a good one, everybody.